What if, in a world searching for signs of the divine, the greatest miracle was right in front of our face? What if Jewish history is the greatest argument for God? This past summer, my wife and I took our daughter to London. We had been studying in advance of her bat mitzvah all of the biblical prophetic books from Joshua to Malachi. And now we wanted to show her the British Museum to learn a little about the ancient civilizations mentioned in the Bible in order to bring those books to life. As the many tourists streamed toward the Elgin Marbles and the Rosetta Stone, we headed straight to room 10B, the Assyrian wing in the British Museum. There, on the walls, were reliefs of the palace of King Sancheriv of Assyria. We were seeing the decorations of the palace of the man who had once been the most powerful monarch in the world. By 701 BCE, Assyria had conquered the entire Middle East. Their conquests included the northern kingdom of Israel, 10 out of the 12 biblical tribes who were exiled and assimilated by Assyria so that they were lost to the Jewish people forever. Only one country rebelled against Assyria, and that was Judea in the southern portion of the Holy Land, ruled by Hezekiah, a descendant of King David. In response, Assyria entered Judea and assaulted the city of Lachish, southwest of Jerusalem. And there, King Sancheriv achieved a victory so terrifying and overwhelming that he chose to memorialize it forever in his palace. It was images of this assault that we were seeing in the museum. We could see the victorious Assyrian troops killing Jewish soldiers, flaying them, decapitating them. And we could also see in one remarkable image Jews being led into exile by their Assyrian captors, mournfully playing dirges on their harps. The art of biblical music was associated with the tribe of the Levites, the tribe to which my family belongs. And as we stood there, we realized that we could say what no one else in the museum could say. We are staring at our ancestors. With Lachish destroyed, Sancheriv then set his sights on the capital of Judea, Jerusalem. In response, Hezekiah fortified his city, and what he built in response to the Assyrian attack can still be seen today. Known as the Broad Wall, it sits in the middle of Jerusalem's Jewish quarter. Every Sabbath, small children play where Hezekiah's terrified troops had once stood. Sancheriv himself proudly predicts the certain destruction of Jerusalem. We can see what he wrote. It is found on what is known as the Prism of Sancheriv, which sits in the Israel Museum. There Sancheriv confidently declared, "As to Hezekiah, the Jew who rebelled against me, I have trapped him in Jerusalem as a bird is captured in its cage." According to the Bible, Sancheriv's second in command, Rabshakeh, came to the very walls that can still be seen and addressed the terrified Jewish troops, telling them to surrender, not to listen to their king, not to defend their sacred city. Where, Rabshakeh said, where are all the other gods of all the countries that have gone before? The gods of the nations that Assyria has already conquered. It all came down to this moment. Assyria had conquered all, exiled all, assimilated all. This was the last stand of the Jews. And Sancheriv's prediction was about to take place, was about to come true. And then nothing. Assyrian records record no conquest of Jerusalem, no destruction of the Jewish people. But the Bible describes an extraordinary miracle. And that evening, before the Assyrian attack, the book of Kings tells us, an angel of God went out and struck all of the assembled Assyrian troops, 185,000 in all. This is something that is difficult to wrap one's mind around. 185,000 soldiers suddenly dropping dead. But on one fact, all historians can agree. Soon after this moment, the Assyrian Empire declines and ceases to be a world power. And Jews continue to exist today. If the biblical account is true, then this would be one of the greatest miracles in our history, greater than the Exodus and the splitting of the sea. But as we stood there with our daughter in the British Museum, a revelation struck me. We were the miracle. It is indeed wondrous for an angel to attack assembled hordes from an empire, but it is even more extraordinary for a father and a mother and their daughter to study an obituary of their people, proclaimed thousands of years ago by an empire that has ceased to exist, while we are about to mark another link in the chain of our own people. This we did several months later when we celebrated our daughter's bat mitzvah in the old city of Jerusalem, just several steps away from where the terrified troops of Judea had once faced the Assyrian hordes. And as we celebrated, the question put by Rav Shakeh to Hezekiah's troops reverberated through our souls. Where are the gods of all the other countries that have gone before? Why is it that in museums and tourist sites throughout the world, you can find obituaries for the Jewish people issued by an assortment of empires that have long since ceased to exist? Why are we still here? We had come to Jerusalem to mark this moment as a family. But it is because we had gone to London that we realized that the story of the Jewish people is today the greatest argument for the existence of God.